Good morning, brethren. All the brethren around the world listening in. And special greetings to Mr. Pippi over there in the UK. I know now they're just finished with their lunch, so we'll have to try and keep them awake. But thinking of Mr. Pippi, and he was talking the other day about the new language and about the name change, and he told me something, well, all of us, but me and something that I didn't know, you know, when he spelled his name that way, I never crossed my mind before that. But it reminded me of a friend I had back when I was in my 20s before I met my wife. Anyway, she was really into the Muppets back then and Kermit the Frog. And, you know, she liked us to call her Miss Piggy. So, that just came to mind. So, anyway, well, I should have started the timer, but all right. So, in the closing prayer yesterday, it was mentioned about that message that we heard from Mr. Armstrong was given 32 years ago. Well, I've got a quote from the correspondence course, lesson 12. That I'd like to read here, because this message Mr. Armstrong gave, it's like some of this quote, well, I'll just read it and you'll understand. It says, from lesson 12 now, it says, the amazing growth in the power and effectiveness of God's church over the years has been possible only through the combined efforts of thousands whom God has called to help financially support the work of His church through their tithes and offerings. In the early years of the Philadelphia era, God's church, only a few hundred could be reached with the gospel, but as the number of dedicated members and co-workers who voluntarily sent tithes and offerings increased, so has the scope and power of the church's work. Now, that was given in, 28 years ago, in 1982, and my wife and I came in to the church in 1986. So what Mr. Armstrong was talking about, I mean, my wife and I are products of that growth, and thanks to the tithes and offerings of the people that came before us. So this is our 28th year keeping God's feast. You know, when we first came in, I mean, it seemed like everything's going to end pretty quick. But thank God that it hasn't in that sense, because for those of us who came later, if you will, we've been given an opportunity. So anyway, back in 1995, we were still attending the Worldwide Church, but just barely, and there was an interesting comment somebody made to me. He said, and they were making changes in the church and to do with the tithing. And what this friend of mine said was, he thought it was great that the church was changing and discontinuing tithing. And his reasoning went along the lines of, we could now give as much as we wanted. You know, I mean, just on the surface, that sounds, well, yeah, now we can give as much as we wanted, but were we really limited before that? You know, if you think about that. I thought about that, and I'm going to turn to, wasn't just thinking about this scripture at first, but let's see where my marker is. I'm going to turn to Samuel, because I want to, trying to get us to think about what the attitude behind that is, because it sounds like they're doing God even better by giving as much as we want. But in Samuel chapter 15, there's an example here of Saul, and I think this is sort of the same attitude. He was told to go out and they were supposed to utterly destroy the enemy, and they weren't supposed to keep anything, any of the animals. They weren't supposed to bring anything back. They were supposed to destroy it. But they didn't do that. And we'll pick it up in verse 20. It says, "And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agai the king of Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." I mean, he wasn't supposed to bring anybody, but he tries to make it sound like he did it. But he says, "The people took of the spoils, the sheep, the oxen, chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." So he tried to justify even that. You know, they were going to sacrifice it to God. But Samuel goes on and says, and he said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." So, you know, when the worldwide church says no more tithes, they were just utterly disobeying God, because that's something God has set. It's a law. And like the law of gravity, you can't just destroy it. It's there. They can ignore it, but to their own hurt, really. And God doesn't want that for us, but He'll allow it. In the case of the worldwide, you know, He allowed that, but it wasn't good for them, along with all the other changes, of course. But so in that correspondence course, lesson 12, under the heading tithing and giving in a new spirit, and I'll have to back up a little here. The point of this sermonette is to point out that there's a difference between tithes and offerings, because that's the crux of it, because God doesn't limit us because He requires the tithe. So anyway, in this correspondence course under tithing and giving in a new spirit, I'll read here, it says, "Remember that God is creator, owner, and proprietor of everything we see around us. God therefore has a prior claim to ownership of all that has been produced on the earth. As David wrote, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." That's from Psalms 24:1. And also, "All the gold and silver belong to God." That's from Haggai 2, verse 8. God created everything, and by virtue of that creation, He owns it all, including mankind. There's really no way that we can reimburse God for what He has done for us as our Creator. So why should one give a tithe, a tenth of his income, to God? Tithing is part of God's give way of life. God wants us to learn how to give and share for the good of others and for our own good. God uses the tenth He claims for Himself to proclaim to the world His gospel of peace, joy, happiness, prosperity, and eternal life. For lack of this knowledge, the world has been under a curse. God's law concerning what we produce, what we can be, or what we produce and earn, can be compared to a contract. He wants us to understand that we are working with Him in a partnership. God allows us to live and work on His earth, to cultivate the land, produce the food we eat. He allows us to cut down His timber, to build the houses we live in, and to use all His resources in producing thousands of products for our own use. But God is very generous, a very generous partner. He basically reserves only 10% to do His work on earth. So, I mean, when I read that over again just recently, I thought, well, how much that ties into this time that we're keeping here at the feast. Because in the world tomorrow, we know that it's going to be a prosperous place. In, you know, like Mr. Monroe was pointing out, after 850 years into the millennium, and people will still be learning these lessons that we're learning now, that they're going to be keeping the laws of God. They'll be tithing. And they'll be understanding that, you know, that's because God has given us everything and we're given just a little bit back to Him in the tithe. But as far as giving as much as we want, well, I mean, it's very obvious that's the offerings, right? In the lesson, it goes under number 9 is the letter. If you're going through the lesson, that would make sense. But anyway, it goes on and says, what should be our attitude in giving God's church the tenth of our income that belongs to Him, and even an occasional offering as we're able? And then it points to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7. We can go there and read that. This is talking about attitude. 2 Corinthians 9, starting verse 6, says, but I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has prospereth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And if you go on and read through this, actually, Paul is talking about not only physical things, actually he's talking more about the spiritual and how the ministry gives to God's people by teaching and exhorting us. And it's just, it's just like you can't outgive God. He'll give and provide for us physically, but also the spiritual side, which is even more important to those of us called now. Okay, then I'll read what the comment was here in the lesson. It said, a generous attitude is foundational to God's give way of life. God is a generous giver. He wants His children to reflect a similar generosity. Within their limited means, the Apostle Paul made this crystal clear. The point is this: he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. Okay, now we always, for the offering, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16. But I'm not going to start in verse 16. I want to start a little before that to bring this point out clearly, that there's a difference between tithes and offerings. So if we start in verse 10, it says, and thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with the tribute of a freewill offering of thy hand. So this is what we're doing. We just got done keeping the 7 days of the feast, and this is the last great day. And it's a time when we can give a free will offering. This has nothing to do with the tithes. Now, this is, you can give freely as much as you want. I'll go on. Maybe I'll skip some of this, but it says, and you shall rejoice before the Lord thy God, you and your sons and your daughters and your servants and the Levites and everybody within the gates, the strangers, the fatherless, to rejoice. And I think that's just what we've been doing, rejoicing here before the Lord. And it was to remind us that, you know, God brought us out of Egypt, that spiritual bondage that we were in. We'll go over to, verse 14. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, you and your sons and your daughters. It goes on and repeats that. And 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy increase and in all the works of thy hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. So that's exactly what we've been doing here at this feast. And then it comes down to verse 16 and goes on to say, three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of the unleavened bread, in the feast of the weeks, and in the feast of the tabernacles. and they shall not appear before the Lord thy God empty. So there's definitely a difference. This is talking about the free will offerings that we're to give to God. It has nothing to do with the tithes. The tithes are a law. We owe one-tenth to God, but this is the free will offerings. So I think it's very clear when you go through it that there was certainly a difference between giving all you want in the free will offerings as you're able, and then the tithes. So I'll close with the closing comment they had here in the correspondence course. It says, to give his as he is able certainly does not limit a person from giving as much as he wants or is able to give.